This is the Motion Church Podcast. Thanks for joining us. If you'd like more information about Motion Church, you can always visit our website at motionchurch.com. If you'd like to contribute to what God is doing here at Motion, you can do that at motionchurch.com/give. We hope you enjoyed today's message.
All right, what's up, everybody? Moderate excitement. We could use a little bit more. It's okay. Hey, thank you guys so much for joining us. I know most of you came for the tacos, if we're being honest. So today we're having our little, we always do a Thanksgiving potluck, and we decided this year, because it's 2020, why the heck not, right? We decided we're going to talk about Thanksgiving this year, and that's what we're doing. So, but before we do that, we're going to do something. I've asked each, is it bright up here or what? Yeah, now you guys know what it's like. It's the suffering cooking. And then they don't laugh at your jokes. It's the worst. Can I see some faces? Can I see their pretty faces in the crowd? A face in the crowd. Hey, all right. So what we decided to do today, something that I don't think we've ever done it quite like this. Because we've been talking about words and the significance of words, the power of words. Again, Proverbs 18:21, life and death are in the power of the tongue and the words that we use to ourselves and to each other. What I wanted to do was I wanted to bring up, this is what we refer to as, well, we haven't like fully settled on a name. These are the people who they slave, they work, they come up here every Sunday night. We have meetings where we punch each other pretty regularly. And so we used to be called the core team. Now we just call ourselves the chore team because all we do is work, right? So everybody's like, you do it. No, you do it. So we're the chore team. So anyway, I wanted you guys, first off, to get to meet and know these wonderful people. This is Jordan, who you know so well. What? Somebody just muted my microphone. Hello.
Uh-oh.
Hello.
Uh-oh.
Doot, doot, doot. You broke it. Yeah. Hey. Don't mute the microphone. That's a good idea. Right. Anyway, Jordan, obviously he has those amazing heavenly pipes that he sings with, and he's got some kind of French braid thing going on with his hair. And then his lovely wife, Kaylee, Kaylee does a little bit of everything, so she schedules all of the volunteers for Motown. She also teaches in Motown, which is our kids' ministry, which is awesome. And then Kaylee, if you need anything done, I've always heard that if you need something done, ask somebody who's busy. Because they're productive people, right? And so Kaylee is one of those people. Ashley is the queen of Motown. She just straightened up her tiara, and then she just had a little sweetheart, Ellis, who she couldn't detach from. And then we have Ashley's other half, John Crumpton. John really is. We keep John around because he's so good at talking to people. Like, literally, we call him the coffee pastor because he walks around with a cup of coffee and just talks to people. And that's great. There's a lot of value in that. Now, if you want something done, go to Kaylee. If you want somebody to talk, go to John. And then Brittany, also known as Be Chill, is over First Impressions. And our man, I wish I had a fan club. That'd be cool. That'd be really cool. So Brittany is over First Impressions and the coffee bar and all that stuff. So basically, when you come in, and if you're a first-time guest, we have this guest table that's set up. We want to get to meet you, get to know you, give you a present, a gift. Brittany is over all of that. And then last, but certainly not least, Shelly tried to sit as far away from me as possible. Yeah, there's usually a reason for that. We're not having intense fellowship, if that's what people are thinking. We're not mad at each other that I know of. I think we're good. I'll find out later. So anyway, Shelly is one of the worship pastors, and her and Jordan do a phenomenal job with all of that. Do I need to say anything else about you? And she's hot, so right. No pressure. Somebody who doesn't even go to our church, I found out about this secondhand. This kind of stuff happens, and it really irritates me. Somebody that doesn't even go to our church, apparently they were watching online, and they're like, the way he talks about his wife. And I'm like, I'm always gassing her up. I'm like, oh, she's so hot. She's so fine. She's so awesome. I'm like, what church are you watching? Because there ain't none of that going on here. So if you're watching, anyway. Hello. Anyway, all of that to say, these are some incredible people who love Jesus and they love the church. And I thought it would be really cool to get some input from them as or with respect to words, right? Words that maybe have been meaningful in their life, maybe something that somebody has said to them that has carried them, or something that somebody has said to them that they've had to overcome. And I kind of left it to their discretion to share whatever they wanted to share. So we're going to start with Jordan McAllister, J-Mac.
Hey, nice to see all you beautiful faces. So the word or the phrase that I ended up picking for today is comfort zone. You know, everybody says get out of your comfort zone, do things that you don't normally do. So I kind of start back to whenever I first started coming to this church, 2012 is when I first started coming. It was Motion's first birthday party. Me and Kaylee, my wife, we...
Y'all weren't even married at the time, right? Y'all
were still married, right? Yeah, and we haven't been married for that long. But we came in really late, and we were still over in that auditorium. This is before this was even a thing. And we'd come and, you know, we'd show up late, we'd leave early. We were that kind of people. We didn't like to talk to people. We were like an introverted couple where anything that we did, we didn't really want to get into anything. We just wanted to show up, leave, you know, do our thing. We showed up to church, and for 3 years we did that, coming to Motion Church. We didn't make connections with people. All we did was show up a little late because we didn't want to do hang time. We used to have this thing called hang time.
Jordan is the ultimate introvert. Yeah. So he would literally show up late to church so that he didn't have to do this thing we had called hang time, where everybody would kind of walk around and give each other a high five. So he would come late to church so that he didn't have to do that.
Yeah, but it's 2020, you know. High fives and handshakes aren't acceptable in social. So, but in this church, they are. So we might bring back hang time if you guys give us some input. We might bring it back. Who knows? I might shut it down real quick. But for 3 years, we came to this church, and, you know, we showed up late, left early. We couldn't meet with people, and that's just how we did it. You know, we didn't even think about maybe volunteering. You know, we say that all the time, you know, get connected, volunteer, go into a group, all that sort of stuff. And we didn't really do that. The first time we volunteered, it was Easter. I think it was Easter 2015. And we just helped with the bounce houses. That's it.
3 years. If you've been here for 3 years and you're not involved, come talk to Jordan. I don't know.
Yeah, so the first time it was the bounce houses, and then I never actually volunteered to do anything on the stage. They were needing a bass player, and somebody I used to play with, or somebody at our old church, knew I played the bass at our old church. Youth group. That's all I did, was just youth group stuff. And he said, hey, this guy plays the bass. I'm like, no, don't. And so I got voluntold is the word, voluntold, not volunteer. And so I played bass, and you know, I enjoyed that. And I think I did that for 2 years. And then we lost our main male vocalist up here. And I think Shelly sang all three songs for many, many a Sundays before somebody else voluntold me to sing. I've never sang anywhere in my life. They just said I could sing, and I was like, I don't sing. I don't know where you heard that, because I don't. Apparently, I don't talk either.
Sing. Oh, I'm muted too.
Well, I'll just talk really loud for now. And so I got voluntold to sing as well, and there we go. And I've been doing that for, I guess, until 2020, here we are. And so, you know, that's kind of like the story is I've been told, you know, get out of your comfort zone, do this other thing. And I might seem extroverted, but really I'm super, super introverted. Doing stuff like this, being on stage is not my comfort zone, not in the slightest. And so if I've ever been rude to you or maybe not even talk to you, that's just not who I am. I just don't take it personally.
It makes it even easier when you're doing this and you're trying to get out of your comfort zone and then your mic doesn't work.
Exactly. There we go. That's better. And so that's kind of been, over the past 8 years that we've been here, that's kind of been the thing that's really pressed upon me is, like, I wouldn't have, if I hadn't gotten out of my comfort zone and done this, you know, Motion is my family. And I love everybody here. I love Chris and Shelly and their goal here and the way they lead here. You know, this is my family, and I wouldn't rather be anywhere else. church-wise. So, you know, we say it all the time, you know, volunteer, get out of your comfort zone, do other things. And so I'm going to challenge y'all. If somebody comes up to you today and says, hey, you know, I've seen you coming here for a while, and you know, what do you think about joining our team or doing this or, you know, getting plugged in? Just, I challenge you to say yes and see where it goes. I did this for a long time of just sitting and not doing anything about it. And now I wish I'd have done it sooner. So,
big shoes to fill.
I know. So I'm the extrovert of our relationship, if you did not know. But so my phrase that I picked was from the movie The Help. I don't know if any of you guys have seen it, but there's a phrase that the nanny tells the little girl, you is kind, you is smart, and you is important. And so I've watched that movie. It's been out for like 10 years. So I've watched it multiple times. He can contest to it. We just watched it like 2 nights ago. So it didn't really mean anything till just about maybe a few years ago. It never really just like meant something to me. So I'm going to kind of go back, way, way back. Whenever I was in junior high, I think, I don't know, most girls kind of like have this struggle of just like comparing with each other and, you know, oh, she's got great hair. Oh, she's got a great body. That's the goal. That's what I want to look like. So that's what I struggled with so much in junior high and high school, so much so that I would make myself throw up. I would go buy diet pills. I would go starve myself for weeks just because I was like, this is the person I just need to look like, you know? Society nowadays, you're just like, have all these goals of people being like 100 pounds, and I'm like, nope, repping something else. I'm not going to tell you my number, but that's whatever. But not 100 pounds. So I think all of the just trying to compare and stuff like that all happened whenever I was younger. When I was 4 months old, my parents adopted me from Korea, and they had specifically asked for a girl that had like a physical disability or something like that, and they got me. And I was born with cleft lip, which basically means there's a hole right here. So when you're born, there's just a huge hole, and it just wasn't formed in the womb. So I had surgery, got it all fixed up. There's like just a scar here. So first was super self-conscious about that. But then as I grew up, I got braces, and they realized that I had a tooth that didn't grow in because I had cleft lip. It just never formed, no baby tooth, nothing. So I had a huge gap right here. No, I'm gonna do like this. So when I was like 12 years old, I had my first denture. So fixed the dent, like the denture cream, so I felt like an old lady. I was like, I'm 12. So that made me just super, super self-conscious just because I had to keep taking it in and out, and I would go hide in the bathrooms and, you know, super self-conscious about that. We dated back in eighth grade. So we've been together about 11 years now, but he was the first person I actually showed him my toothless grin to. No, I don't even think any of my friends knew that I had no tooth right here. I was just super self-conscious about that. But he was the first one that had seen it. And so I was like, okay, cool. He still loves me. Well, let's go. Let's get married. So a few months before we got married, my mom realized, or she just knew that I was struggling with that. Like, that was just a really big fear of mine, is just to continue, you know, just be married and just have to buy Fixit my entire life. So as my wedding gift, my parents got let me have surgery on my tooth, so I got a permanent tooth in there, so I don't have to worry about any of that, thank goodness. But through all that to say, the you is kind, you is smart, and you is important part of that movie, it just made me realize, like, that girl is just telling this little girl, you don't need to be pretty. You do not need to look after all these other girls and think, oh, that's who I need to look like. You don't need to worry about that. That's not what you need to worry about. There's way more bigger plans God has for you. God's made you the way you are for a reason. And heck, Jordan, do you think that was hot? You could, I mean, that's why I got married. No, just kidding. But no, that's why I want to add on to you is kind, you is smart, you is important, and you is beautiful.
That's so good. Hey, hang on. Don't pass the mic just yet. I think, Kaylee, you mentioned that so many young girls, and I think guys as well, like guys, maybe they compare differently, but we all struggle with this comparison thing. And I've heard that it's not fair to compare. I think I made that up. Maybe. But I also have heard that comparison is the thief of joy. Like, comparing will steal your joy faster than anything, just about anything else. So maybe just for the young ladies out there, like, what would you say would help them to kind of get to that place where they can overcome this insecurity because of comparison?
I say get with girls that are around you that are uplifting and that don't, you know, you don't need to worry about that. What really helped me was just trying to find Bible verses that were just, they were just helpful. You know, just reading my Bible and finding devotionals and just stuff like that. Yeah. And don't watch the TV. Do not think that that's the idol you have to go after. There is a much higher God that you've got, you know, that you, okay. Okay, that's it. But no, God's don't. The one that, you know, he's the one that matters. Don't worry about the physical stuff.
It's good.
It's good. It's really good.
All right. Woo, all right. So, hey, we're going to, can y'all lay hands on the soundboard? We're going to cast the devil out of it. Y'all got some, like, compel you, Spirit of Christ compels you. Okay, Ashley or Ellis, whoever wants to go.
I'll go first. So what Chris didn't say is, I'm the queen of Motown because I always have a kid attached to me. If it's not my kid, it's someone else's kid. If you need someone to watch your kid,
no,
I'm not doing it. Kayla can. But the phrase that I wanted to talk about is, if you don't at first succeed, try again. And for those that don't know our story, like, Ellis is number 5. So, but we got married in 2016. Shortly after that we got married, we got pregnant. We were super excited to be a new couple, together, married, to have a family. About 7 weeks after we got pregnant, we lost our first baby. And I was like, I'm not doing that again. And then 6 months later, we got pregnant again. And about 8 weeks later, we lost that baby. And so, like, 2 times, you could be like, oh, I'm really not doing it again. Like, even after 1 time, like, if we would have given up and chose to go a different route, adoption or anything, people wouldn't have blamed us. They'd been like, oh, I get it. And then about a year later, we got pregnant again. And we're like, okay, 3rd time's the charm. This time, it's going to work. It's the 3rd time. It's not going to happen again. And a few weeks later, we lost that baby. And I'm like, okay, God, like, let's talk. What's going on? Like, I'm young. Nothing's wrong with me. Why can't I have a baby? Like, I watch, like, 50 kids in Motown. I teach them about you. Like, why can't I have my own? And so I was like, I am not doing it again. And then a year later, we got pregnant again. I don't know what was going on there. But I was like,
do you guys need like a 7th grade science lesson?
I guess so. I don't know what was happening. But I was like, okay, this is number 4. This doesn't happen to people 4 times in a row. You hear about it happening once, maybe twice, but not 4 times. You've got this, God. And then we went all the way up to our 12-week appointment. And we were so excited. We was going to Florida in like a week. We were going to find out what the gender was. We was going to tell everyone in Florida, do a big Facebook post, make it official. And we went to the doctor. And they said, okay, we're going to listen for the heartbeat. And so they tried. They couldn't find it. They said, oh, don't worry. At 12 weeks, it's kind of hard to hear a heartbeat anyhow. So I'm like, oh, okay. They're like, we're going to do an ultrasound. And so they go to do the ultrasound, and the doctor just stands there. And by this time, like, I'm like, okay, like, I get it. I know what's happening. You don't have to tell me. We lost that baby, too. And at this point, I was like, you know what? I'm done. I'm not doing it again. It's too hard. At this point, we had already lost John's mom. The baby's not going to have a grandparent. Like, it's going to be missing a grandparent. It's fine. We'll adopt. So we went all the way through our adoption classes, actually with someone that's here, Amy and Jamie. And we're like, yeah, we're going to adopt. We're going to adopt a kid. It's going to be cool. We don't even have to, like, get one that's, like, in diapers. Like, we can just skip that stage.
Amen.
So we get all the way to the end of the classes, and I'm like, I don't want to adopt. Like, I don't want to maybe have to give that kid back to their parent. I was being very selfish at that point. I didn't want to do it. So I was like, we're just not going to do it. And then we went to a fertility doctor, and they were like, oh, no, you should be able to have a kid. I don't know what's going on. But if you want to spend $15,000 and do IVF, you can do that too. I was like, adopt. And so Christmas Eve of last year, or around Christmas of last year, I was like, man, I think I'm pregnant again. I was like, I'm not taking the test. I'm not ruining Christmas. I'm not doing it. And then I took the test because misery loves company. And I found out I was pregnant. And I was like, oh, God, no. And so I was like, oh, okay, John, I got your Christmas present. You go first. And so he gave me like a mirror. And I'm like, thanks for my mirror. By the way, we're pregnant. And it was so scary. And it was at the moment where we were fine if it was just us. We were fine if we adopted. Whatever, however our life would have been mapped out, like it would have been what God wanted. And so I was just like, you know, God, if we lose this baby, it's going to be fine. We're going to praise you. If we have her, it's going to be fine. We're going to praise you. And like she just kept growing and getting bigger. And then she started kicking. And then it came time like I had to have her. And I had her. And she's here. So all of that to say, if you don't at first succeed, try again. I found a note in my phone, and I think Chris said it, but I didn't put his name by it, so this is an original. It said, don't let disappointments diss the appointment that God has on your life. And, like, how crazy would it be, like, if I would have given up after the first time, or the second time, or the third, or the fourth time? Like, Ellis wouldn't be here keeping us up all night. So if you don't first succeed, try again.
That is so good. John, what is your favorite verse?
My what?
Favorite verse.
Galatians 6:9.
Which is?
Do not grow weary in doing good, for at the right time you reap a harvest if you do not give up.
There's your harvest.
Yep. And I did not want to give up. Trust me. There you
so
are.
So by the fifth time, did y'all figure out how this happens? Okay. Just wasn't sure if we needed to go over all of that. Carry on, John. Carry on.
Well, now that that's over, the phrase that's changed my life the most has been, you become who you surround yourself with. Think about this. Think about your five closest friends that you have right now. I guarantee you, you're the average of their income, their body fat percentage, the way they, their political views, their religious views. We are a product of our environment. So when I was in, I don't know, eighth grade, I started realizing that the guys that I was hanging out with all the time, we had the same type of vehicles, our parents did the same jobs, we were going down the same road. And by the time I got in high school and graduated, barely, I know, I was impressed too, Ellis. That's not the most nerve-wracking thing all day. But by the time I got in high school, I started realizing that some of the people I was hanging out with, I didn't want to go down that road. And so I started changing who I associated myself with. And through that, it's just opened up a whole new world for me, because it's not so much you have to lose your friends, because I've got the same group of friends that I've had since seventh grade. Okay, one of our best friends passed away last year, and seeing how we all came together for his family was inspiring to a lot of people, because it's not just two or three of us. There's almost, what, eight of us? Eight or nine of us that just all came together, right? I'm talking about the people that you allow to influence you. Who's influenced you? What has influenced you? Are you watching bullcrap on TV all the time? Is that why you have a bad attitude? I get on to her all the time for watching, what is it that you're on now? Married in 90 Days, or, you know, it's a fast and furious way to a marriage, and everyone thinks it's perfect because it's on TV, but it's not. It's all dramatic, and it will kill your relationship because you ultimately start acting what you see, right? So, like, for me, I know that if I need to start being a better person, I'll start hanging out with Chris. Sorry, Shelly, because it...
Well, that's just because it makes him feel better when he hangs out with somebody like me.
Exactly.
You see what I'm saying?
Exactly. But, you know, the people that you hang around the most is who you become. I wish it wasn't that way, but it is. You know, I did electrical work for 10 years with my dad, and my dad passed away in January of this last year. Thank God he didn't go through all this COVID stuff. He would have lost his mind. But I remember waking up one day, and I was doing everything my dad was doing. I was drinking like my dad. I was drinking coffee at 3 o'clock in the afternoon like my dad when it was 100 degrees outside. I walked, I talked, I looked, everything just like my dad. And it's not that my dad was a bad person. He just didn't have the life that I wanted. I wanted a different lifestyle. I wanted to drive nicer cars. I wanted to make more money. My dad had a very limited mindset. So I started hanging around people that have open minds. People that say, hey, you know what? It's not uncommon for you to not have a college education and still be extremely successful for your family. Because growing up in high school, we're always taught, go to school, get a good education, get a good job. I wasn't good at the school part. You know, I was better at learning stuff as I went, learning hands-on. You sit me in a classroom, it's like giving me a script on stage. Like, I just can't, I cannot do it. It doesn't register for me, right? And so that's been the one thing that's changed my life the most. I've got thousands of relationships. You know, some of my very best friends are in this room right now, but there's 5 guys that I allow to influence me. And they all have to be spiritual. They all have to believe in God. None of them know each other. They know of each other, but they don't know each other. I've got a guy that influences me in business and my personal net worth and my income, because I can call and talk to him like, hey man, I'm struggling with this. My wife is telling me not to buy this. He talks me through it. But I think it's important to have those people in your life that you can be vulnerable to and accountable to and say, hey, I'm struggling in this area. Can you help me? But the problem or the trick is they actually have to be able to help you and not just listen to you complain the whole time. All right. You don't need a psychologist all the time. You just need someone that's going to hold you butt accountable. Like, you know, Chris holds me accountable to a lot of stuff. Like, eating the tellies all the time. It works. So that's my biggest verse.
I have nothing to say.
I was going to say, he has nothing.
Be chill.
Okay, so mine, it took me so long to really, like, narrow down something that I could talk about, because there's so many things I have on repeat in my head that I tell myself all the time. But one that stuck out for me that has shaped me to who I am today, and I just realized this in the last year. So we'll just rewind. First, my saying is, don't bite off more than you can chew. And it sounds kind of like a negative, but it turns positive. So just give me a minute. So when I was younger, about 16, I got a car, I got a cell phone, and so I knew that I was going to have to provide or pay for my own way, because my parents were like, well, if you get a car, you get a phone, you're going to have to pay. So I immediately started working at a pizza place. And I also played sports. So I would literally go get out of school, go practice sports, and then go to school from like 6 to, or go to work from like 6 to 9. And I did that 2 or 3 times a week. The other days I didn't work, I was playing, you know, whatever sport I was in. I had a game. And then the weekends I would either have tournaments or I'd be at work. I worked all the time at 16. And not because, you know, my parents needed my income, but they told me from the get-go, if you want this, you're going to have to work for it. And so I did. But then on the other side, my stepdad, he was always like, you are so busy. You are gone all the time. Like, you don't. And I really think, I understand now as being a parent myself, that I really think that was his way of saying, like, we miss you. You're never home. But, and now I'm starting to get that, because I have a 12-year-old who's about to start, you know, being gone all the time. And I don't know what I'm going to do. I'm probably going to say the same thing. But so I understood that then. But I was like, I don't know how else to do it. And so fast forward to me graduating high school and going to college. And I did the same thing. I worked when I wasn't in school, I was working at Chili's in Nacogdoches. Like, I worked all the time. And then I moved to Virginia for a year. I went to school, worked two jobs. Like, I was always go, go, go. Well, then I had Colby, and I worked up until I worked two jobs with Colby when I was pregnant with Colby, my older one, and worked right up until I had him. And it was just always go, go, go for me, like, all the time. And I even, my best friend was like, you are so busy. Like, how do you do it? Like, it's not healthy, Brittany. It's not healthy. What are you doing? And so there goes that saying again, don't bite off more than you can chew. Well, I for sure was biting off a lot more than I could chew, but I kept going. And so now I fast forward to where I'm at now. So I've always had two jobs. And then once after I had my second child, I decided, okay, I didn't get that much time with Colby when he was a baby. I feel like time flew by so fast because I was so busy. I was like, I really need to focus on spending time with my kids because my life is going by so fast, and I'm not going to remember them when they're younger because I'm always busy. I'm always gone. I'm always doing stuff. So I started going to Motion Church, and I started figuring out, which was about almost 6 years ago, and I started to realize how important it is to take time for yourself, even not even with anybody, but just like time with you and time for yourself and with God. And so, I mean, I'm still so busy to this day. I do a lot, but I also know and recognize when I don't have my alone time with God or with myself, it affects my mood. It affects my attitude. I mean, you can ask Colby. He's probably like, God, Mom, you need Jesus this week. Because if I don't spend that time now, I know I need time for myself. But at the same time, all of this to say that, yes, I may have struggled and been so busy in my life, but I am finishing my first semester of nursing school, and I'm working, and I got another job, so I'm about to have two jobs, and I have two kids that are crazy, and they play sports. So I am so busy now, but I have been able, I guess, since I've done it all my life pretty much, I've been able to balance. And so I guess what I'm saying is just because, you know, I struggled so much and had so much going on, I turned it around, and I think now I have it to where I can handle this and manage it. And so I did bite off more than I can chew, but in the end, all that struggle just goes to show that I was preparing myself for where I'm at now. And like I said, I still sometimes do bite off more than I can chew because I do volunteer a lot up here too as well. So, but I see people that are younger than me in college right now that are with me in nursing school, and they are like living at home with mom and dad, and they're like, this is so hard, it's so much. And I'm like, psh, this ain't nothing. Like, this is easy now. And so I really do feel like I was prepared my whole life for this moment. Like, I feel like I'm exactly where I need to be for the first time in my life ever. And so there's this quote. So I was like just looking up stuff last night, and there's a quote that goes along with don't bite off more than you can chew. And I meant to bring my phone up here and read it, but it said, don't bite off more than you can chew. I'd rather choke on greatness than drown in regret. So that's my ending.
I like that. Dang. Yeah. That's really good. Something that I've been thinking a lot about lately, kind of in with respect to that, is I think a lot of times we mistake busyness for productivity. Mm-hmm. We think if we're busy, then we're being productive. And that's not necessarily the case at all. I think doing the right things and being busy with the right things is very important. That's biting off greatness, right?
Yep.
Uh-oh. Y'all get ready. Get ready.
Okay, so first of all, I'm going to stand up.
Hey, this is the
best
preacher in the church.
No, I've just been so uncomfortable the whole time. It's weird sitting down on the stage. I hate sitting down on the stage. I'm just going to stand up. Thank you. I like that. So for all of you first-timers, and you have no idea what just happened, I feel like we did not set this up for you at all. Or if you haven't been a part of this series, I feel like you're like, what is happening right now?
Didn't I say in the beginning that this is Words with Friends, and I asked all of these people to share a phrase that was meaningful to them?
You did.
Isn't that a setup?
You did set it up a little.
Okay. Carry
but
on.
I just wanted to say, in case y'all are like, what the heck is going on right now? I just want y'all to know this is not a typical Sunday. And if this is your first time, you really need to come back because my husband is the best preacher in the world. So.
Didn't I also say that we've never done this before?
So I just want to say that, like, you should totally come back because he's awesome. Okay, so I'll just put my knee right here. Is that cool? I feel like I'm part of the group. Okay, so Chris asked us, I guess it was 2 weeks ago, hey, think of a phrase. It's going to be words with friends. So think of a phrase or words that people have told you that have impacted your life and impacted the way that you think regularly. And so I was like, I don't really listen to people. So this, honestly, up until last night, was really difficult.
She ain't lying.
I just do what I want to do, you know? And I usually don't listen to people's words. I watch what they do. And so for me, finding words or a phrase was difficult because all I really pay attention to is what people do, not what they say. And of course, growing up with a father who was literally never there, and he would tell us that he was going to come pick us up, and he never did, suitcase packed, I learned quickly as a child, don't believe what people say. Just watch what they do. And so as an adult, I still don't really listen to what people say. I only pay attention to what they do. And so when Chris was like, hey, think of some words that have changed your life, my first thought was, I don't really pay attention to people's words. Now, that's not to say that if you come up to me and tell me a story, I'm not listening. It's not like that. I'm just saying, I don't apply what you're saying to my life. That's what I'm saying. Like, you can do what you want to do, but ultimately, I just kind of do what I want because I just, that's how I am. Anyways, but I love to listen to people. I just don't apply it to my life. Sounds so bad. I told Chris last night, I was like, I just feel like this is going to sound so bad. That's not what I mean. But one thing and one person that has never let me down from a child all the way to now is my Heavenly Father. Because when I prayed, He heard me. And when I needed Him to do something and to act, He did it. And so I instantly, as a child, had this bond with the Lord. And so I never really listened to people's words, but I did listen to His word and His voice. And so obviously the Bible is the word of God. So I would quickly turn to that in times of trouble, in times of need. When I'm sad, it made me happy. When I was scared, it made me feel safe. And so one phrase that I would say has changed my entire life, I think about it, I won't say every day, but almost every day. I either say it to myself or say it to someone else, is the joy of the Lord is my strength. And the reason that really resonates with me is in the book of Nehemiah is actually where you will find this phrase. And it was a bunch of children of Israel whining after God had been providing for them and providing for them and providing for them. They're sitting around whining and crying because they can't keep the laws that were given to them. And so they're literally boo-hooing, feeling so bad for themselves. And Nehemiah's like, hey, stop crying. The joy of the Lord is your strength. And I was like, man, that's so good. And it's always stuck with me. It's not my joy that's my strength, but it's His joy that's my strength. And the Bible says that He has a joy that is everlasting. It's never failing, and it's always there. And so when I think about a phrase or words that I believe, it's the joy of the Lord is my strength. Because it doesn't matter what is going on. People are like, oh, you always look so happy. And I mean, honestly, my situation and circumstance may not be joyful in that moment. We do have 3 kids and 3 dogs. And life is not always, believe it or not, joyful. But I always say, well, you know what? The joy of the Lord is my strength. His joy is what matters. His joy is what gives me strength. It's not about how I feel. It's not about any of that. It's not about what's going on in my life. It's just about the joy. The joy of the Lord is my strength. And so those are some words that have truly changed my life.
All right, so give us an example of how that exactly plays out. Like you're having an awful day or you get really bad news and you're just like, oh, it's okay. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Like, give me an example of what that looks like in real life.
I just think real life, my mom had a stroke. For those of you who don't know, just about a month ago, she had a spinal stroke, a stroke in her spinal cord. Super rare, something rare would happen to my mother. But anyways, it was super rare. And I mean, the whole time I was like, you know what? God's got this. Everyone's like, oh my God, are you okay? Is your mom okay? I'm like, you know, she's in good spirits. I'm in good spirits because the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's not really about the situation. I feel like that's as real as I can get. It's not really about the situation. Did my mom have a spinal stroke? Yes. Is she paralyzed right now? Yes. Is she going to miss all the holidays? Yes. But she's with us. She has her mind. She's usually sitting right there. That's why that chair is empty. It's been empty for like a month. But the joy of the Lord is my strength through all of this. I'm just like, you know what? I'm just going to focus on the good. There's plenty of bad all the time to focus on, just so you know, in case you didn't know. There's plenty of bad. But every day I would say that I just choose to focus on the positive. I love to see that silver lining coming through the storm clouds.
And it's not just optimism, it's hope, right? It's ultimately who is in control of our lives, of our circumstances. If God is God, if he is who he says he is, and he can do what he says he can do, then we put our trust and hope in him. We're not optimistic in our circumstances. The joy of the Lord is our strength and will sustain us through whatever it is that we go through.
Exactly.
Preach, preacher.
Exactly. I'm getting fired up just thinking about this.
I know. You stay down there and preach, and I'll stay down here and preach. It's going to
right?
be a lot of fun.
I know. Yeah, but honestly, like that's a real life. Yeah. The joy of the Lord is my strength. Do I have strength every day? No. Does he? Yes. Do I have happiness every day in my life? No. Does he? Yes. And is it about me or is it about him? It's about him. And so for me, it's just like get myself off of the couch and put God there and just let him soak and be my company and be my comfort, because that is what he wants to do. But we have to make time. We have to make time.
That's so good. I hope this was helpful for you guys. Let me see if I can do this. So Jordan, comfort zone. Get out of your comfort zone, right? Don't sit there for 3 years not doing anything. Get out of your comfort zone.
If Kaylee, y'all have a talent, you better tell us after this. I'm just saying. That taco bar.
So here's the best part about it is Kaylee's the one that was like, she narked on him. She's like, hey, by the way, Jordan sings. And went to Shelley and told her. And Shelley's like, oh, for real? You gonna be like that? Kaylee, you is kind. You is smart. You is beautiful.
Important.
And then you added the you is beautiful, right? Oh, Ashley, yours is just don't just stay away from John is yours, right? If at first you don't succeed, try again. John Boy, you are the sum total of the friends and people that you hang out with. What is the exact words?
You are who you become who you hang around.
You become who you hang around. I like it. That's good. And isn't that the truth? I heard a quote kind of, I guess, in line with that. It says, the only difference between you today and you in 5 years are the books you read and the people you meet. Isn't that good? Be chill. Stop biting off more than you can chew. So good. And Shelly, the joy of the Lord is your strength.